So it is now my pleasure to call upon our brother Mark Snowblind to deliver our exhortation.
Good morning, everyone. I'll take one look at you with my glasses on, and now I'll look at my notes. In our readings over the past week and this morning, we've had the privilege of considering the book of Proverbs and the Gospel of Luke. And these books, I don't think, just parallel in our daily readings at the moment. They parallel in their message, and that's particularly true in our readings today. I'd like to begin in the book of Proverbs, a book that we all know contains practical advice that helps guide us through the ordinary everyday situations that we face or the problems that we face. But the purpose of the book is more than just that. It's greater than that. I think we could all summarize the theme of the book in one word, and that's wisdom. And if the theme of the book is wisdom, I think the purpose should be obvious. So let's look at the first few verses of Proverbs chapter 1. In the version that I'm using this morning, the NIV, the purpose, I think, is stated in three words at the beginning of verse 2. In verse 1, the author's revealed that Solomon, he wrote most of the book. And then the first three words of verse 2. The book is for attaining wisdom. I think that's the purpose of the book, that we attain wisdom. And the book does help get us there. And look at the following verses in 2-5. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. So yes, the book is practical. I mean, look at some of the words that are used here in these verses. Instruction, understanding, knowledge, guidance, discretion, prudence, insight. There's value here. But it's more than just about good advice or accumulating knowledge or becoming a good person. Wisdom is greater than that, because true wisdom, we have to understand, is the ability to see things the way God sees them. That's the ultimate purpose of the book, to lead us to the point where we see things and understand things the way God does. That's attaining true wisdom. And there's a path to get there. I think we could state the first step in one word also. It's in verse 5. It's the first word in verse 8 in my version. That's the word listen, or hear, I think, is in other versions. One word. That, I think, could be the first step. We have to listen. And that's not really a popular word these days, is it? You know, we don't like to listen. It's against our nature. But if we're going to attain wisdom, we have to. In chapter 3, verse 5, we're told, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We don't have all the answers, do we? We're often wrong. So we have to listen. Verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. We have to listen. It begins with listening like a child at the feet of our parents. That's step one. listen. Step two, I think we could say, is to absorb the instruction given. Absorb it. And that, I think, will lead us to step three, which is to begin to see the things the way God does. That's the purpose. To see and understand it the way God does. And allow that to influence our lives and our thinking and our desires. And it begins with listening to instruction like a child at the feet of our parents. And this idea also continues in the chapter that we read this morning, chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 to 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Listen. Do not forsake my teaching. Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Verses 10 and 11. Listen, my son, accept what I say and the years of your life will be many. And verse 13, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. The years of our life will be many. Is that step four? That life that we look forward to, eternal life? So we listen, we lean on our Father's understanding, we start to see and understand the way our Father thinks. We start to see and understand things the way our Father does. And the result is long life. And not just now. I think we have to think about that life in the future, ultimately. And that's something that we all want. It's our goal, something we think about, even question sometimes, question how we're going to get there. And I think in that thought, we begin to see a direct connection with Luke chapter 18. Solomon was inspired to reveal the thinking of God in this book as he instructs us. But it is also our privilege to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to his instruction and see reflected in it the thinking of his Father. Practical lesson given by a man who saw and understood things the way his Father did. The direct connection, I think, is in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18, where a young ruler comes to Jesus with the question that many have considered. A certain young ruler asked him, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we have to assume that he was a good man. He was genuine. His question was real. We have to believe that Jesus knew this. Verse 20 and 21, Jesus responds, you know the commands. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. Step one, he honored his father and his mother, and likely as a child sat at their feet and learned, listened. He absorbed the instruction given. He kept the commandments. Was he on step two? He was a good person. Jesus saw it. And I think we have to believe that he truly wanted to get to that last step, get to the point of eternal life. That's why he asked the question. But I think somewhere between step one and two, which he may have even mastered, and step four, the reward that he looked for, there was something missing. And I think that's the ability to see and understand things from the divine perspective. It seems he lacked that wisdom. He had everything else. that there was something missing. And Jesus actually tells him in verse 22, you lack one thing. One thing he lacked. You know, sometimes we ask questions, don't we, that we don't want to hear the answer. This man was likely familiar with Jesus and his teaching, and he was still looking. What had he missed along the way? Well, thankfully, in this chapter, I think we also have some of the answers. Verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. We're told people were bringing the little children to Jesus. The disciples tried to stop this, maybe thinking Jesus had more important things to do. But of course, for Jesus, it was the opportunity for a lesson. Verse 16. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And you know, I think we can identify this with this as parents. As parents, we want the best for our children, don't we? Because we love them. And in return, they love us, they trust us, they listen to us, they believe us. They have a teachability, an ability to absorb information, to trust and believe. The children of good parents have little to be concerned about. And these qualities are necessary if we want to inherit eternal life. It's more than just that, isn't it? Children listen to their parents, yes, and they believe what they say. I mean, our kids always ask us why, don't they? When they're young, they believe us when we answer. It's almost easy when they're younger to answer the questions. But more importantly, children depend on their parents. They don't lean on their own understanding. They lean on their parents. And unfortunately, that does change too. When they get a little bit older, we see that they start to lean on their own understanding. They don't lean on us as much. They have a mind of their own. And they don't listen. And I guess that's because they think they have the answers. But if we have that perspective spiritually, if we don't continue to listen as we mature, our eternal lives are at risk. In this chapter, chapter 18, I think we also see the divine wisdom in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, beginning in verse 9. And, you know, maybe we can see a bit of the rich young ruler in both of these men. And even a little bit of ourselves in these men. But it's probably true that we mostly fit in between, which is still not a good place to be. Verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So this parable wasn't directed at the rich young ruler specifically. It was applicable. It was directed at those who should know better. Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, this Pharisee must have considered himself a very righteous man, you know, even perfect, as he stands up, likely where everyone can see him, seems very satisfied with himself. He mentions his virtues, which appear to be many, his accomplishments, all the good things he does. He wasn't evil. He didn't steal. He wasn't an adulterer. Likely even received instruction at the feet of his parents. He knew the commandments. He wasn't like other men. Certainly not like the tax collector. But he was lacking, wasn't he? He was wrong about himself. He thought he was righteous, but he wasn't acceptable to God, and he didn't even know it. The tax collector's attitude was completely different. He stood at a distance, probably where no one could see him or hear him, but God did. The Pharisee promoted himself, but the tax collector could only plead for mercy. I think we have to understand that he saw the need for forgiveness, the principle of reconciliation. So both these men went to the temple to pray. Both were sinners, but only one of them was acceptable to God. And that's because he knew he was a sinner. The Pharisee exalted himself, but the tax collector humbled himself. And it's that attitude that is acceptable. It's this attitude that brings us closer to eternal life. The young ruler, I don't think, was fully like either man. He didn't exalt himself, but he didn't completely humble himself either. And that's not a good place to be. Not a place where we want to be. The place where there's still something lacking. In verse 22, Jesus eventually identifies what this man was lacking. He says, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Well, we know his reaction, don't we? He went away sad. And that's because, as it says in verse 23, he was wealthy. This was his stumbling block, his treasure on earth. That was his stumbling block. He was a good man. He certainly stands out amongst his peers, the other rulers of the day. He had likely listened to instruction as a child. He kept the commandments since he was a child. And his question seems genuine. He genuinely seems to want eternal life. He wants to know. That's why he asked Jesus. And that's why he was so sad when he realized the cost. He had one stumbling block, and Jesus identified it. Jesus could see it. This man listened as a child. That's step one. He absorbed the instruction given and even allowed it to govern his life. Step two. And he genuinely wanted to know how he could achieve the reward. The reward, step four. But he couldn't get past the third step. So he was like the Pharisee that prayed, except he knew he was lacking. The Pharisee that prayed wouldn't have asked the question. He didn't need to. But this young ruler couldn't humble himself like the tax collector. And that would stop him from achieving the reward. The purpose of the Proverbs, which was to see things the way God sees them and understand things the way God sees them, the way Jesus sees things. That's what he was missing. He had a challenge and he lacked the wisdom to see past it. This has to remind us of the pearl of great price. The kingdom was compared to a merchant in that parable, a merchant looking for fine pearls. And we found that one fine pearl. It says he sold everything that he had so he could obtain it. He gave up everything he had for that one thing. The rich young man was looking at that pearl too, was staring him in the face, that treasure in heaven. But the price for him was too great, and he couldn't get past the point. He didn't have the wisdom to get that past the point of the things that were in the way. And, you know, I think we can identify with this rich young ruler. Most of us, you know, are probably a lot like him. We sat at the feet of our parents and listened. We've obeyed the commandments. We've allowed the lessons to influence our lives, our decision. Maybe sometimes pride gets in the way and we think like the Pharisee, you know. Maybe sometimes we think I'm not like everyone else. But we are, and we're genuine. And I think, you know, we see that pearl of great price too. So we are like him. But if we came face to face with our Savior, who sees things like his Father, and we asked the same question, how would the conversation go? Teacher, what must I do? You know the commandments. Well, yeah, I've kept them my whole life. But you still lack one thing. Is there something that might be in the way of our treasure in heaven? Is there something that we lack? One sacrifice that we have to make? Is there something that we value too much that we can't give up? Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. Where, as we remember, we were told to listen and live. At the end of verse 19, it says the wicked, they don't know what makes them stumble. I think we probably do. Because we do see things differently. But do we have the wisdom to get past whatever might be in the way? Verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Do we see things the way God sees things? The way Jesus does? We're about to examine ourselves as we remember the sacrifice he made. Do we value wisdom and treasure in heaven more than anything else? Like that pearl of great price. Even if it costs us everything else we have. Verse 8, esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor.